numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good morning, folks. Welcome in. It is a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Jonathan Von Tobel filling in for Gil Alexander today. We've got a good show for you coming up in 30 minutes. Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime, also host of, let's see if I get these right, the College Basketball Betting Podcast and the College Football Betting Podcast will be with us as we preview the Pac-12. Fascinating conference. Obviously, the favorite to go with the first overall pick, the quarterback for one of the teams in the Pac-12, Caleb Williams. Also, I think one of the more intriguing teams in college football with DJ Uiagalelei now taking the helm for Oregon State. There is, I guess, a slight question whether or not it's going to be official, but we'll talk about that conference with Tim coming up in 30, and then in an hour and 30, Adam Burke will be with us, host of the VSiN Daily Baseball Best Bets podcast, as we look ahead to a second half of Major League Baseball and a full day of baseball starting on Friday. But we begin with a little bit about last night. I got to tell you, we were out at the Thomas and Mack Center, as we are for the NBA Summer League the entire time, and had to get home, right? Actually, Kelly, the thing I had to do was I had to get to my kids' soccer practice, okay?
Okay.
So my kids' soccer practice, for those who don't know the layout of Las Vegas, kids' soccer practice is off to, like, the north, but my house is off to the south. So I'm like, all right, I'll hop on the freeway, get out of here. Well, it's rush hour. So I'm trying to get on the freeway. It takes me 20 minutes just to get to the freeway. I'm like, all right, by the time I get there, they're going to be gone.
I am. Okay, real quick, I'm so glad you brought this up. I don't know what was going on in Vegas yesterday, but that traffic was brutal getting out of Thomas and Mack yesterday. It took me like 45 minutes to get home.
Well, so I went up Russell by Allegiant Stadium, and it's the same thing that happened to me the last time when we had the CONCACAF League Finals or whatever that was. I was like, I'm with you. I'm like, what is happening? I'm cursing. I'm getting irritated. I'm like, come on. And then, of course, what happens? I see like a group of people in Mexico jerseys walk by, and it was the exact same thing. I'm like, God, I totally forgot that, of course, it's CONCACAF and that there is, of course, soccer going on. So that is why it took so long. That is why our town, our fair city, was so packed. But it was one of those things where I didn't connect it until I saw all these people. And in my rage, I'm like, why are they? Oh, that's right.
Well, I didn't connect it until you just said it right now. Yep. I was fuming yesterday. I'm like, why is this so packed?
Well, many people were fuming also because I don't think they realized that the Americans were not rolling out the A squad yesterday.
Right.
As USA fell to Panama in penalty kicks, there was a lot of like, how could this happen? The Americans, what's going on? And it's like, hey, chill, my guy. Like, they're not rolling out the top team. This is kind of what happens in these events. And hey, look, got the penalties, ended up losing. I believe when they played them with their full strength squad, it was a little bit of a beatdown. So wouldn't freak out about the state of soccer in America, which many were doing, not realizing what was happening with the Americans yesterday. So USA, about $1.70 favorite I saw, ends up falling. So we're going to get Panama versus Mexico in the Gold Cup final. So that'll be fun. But that was one of the events that was going on yesterday. One of the betting events that was going on yesterday on what was a quiet day of sports. But again, you always say, nothing. There's never nothing going on in the world of sports. Yeah. It's just what you choose to follow in the world of sports. We still have Wimbledon going on. Scottish Open got started early this morning. Of course, soccer and the NBA Summer League, which we were at. Really quick, before we get to the Summer League, the last guys just got on the course, like an hour ago?
Yeah, I was going to do quick updates, tennis and golf. We have our first lady into the Wimbledon final. Marketa Vondrousova defeats Elena Svitolina 6-3, 6-3. She will become the first unseeded woman to reach a Wimbledon final. So,
is that your girl with the tats?
Yeah, girl with the tats got through. I know Ben was betting her at the French. So, well, Benny and the Bets Wilson might have a ticket on her. So, yeah, she punches her ticket to the final. And then over in the Scottish Open, it is Benny on going real low this morning. 9-under-61 leading the way. He's in the clubhouse. Just finished his round about 20 minutes ago. He has a 3-shot lead over Thomas Dietrich, Rory McIlroy, both at 6-under-par. And we just kind of got the afternoon wave started over there right now. Tyrrell Hatton, someone I'll have my eye on. He's 3-under-par through 6.
Sorry, I'm Googling the tattoos. Because you're obsessed. Every time she comes up on the screen, this is something that you point out.
Yeah.
In terms of the tattoos. Because it does look like, I mean, she's got a bunch of, like, you know, art on her. But there's also, like, this one piece that's kind of just like a line.
Right.
Now, I would say, looking at them up close, the line does seem to be, what's the thing where it's like the cliche. It's why, actually, I wear my wedding ring on my left finger, right? It's because isn't like the thing, like you have an artery that goes like down through your ring finger, and then it connects to your heart, and that's why you wear your wedding ring on that finger?
I love that. I have no idea, but I'm hearing from downstairs that is correct.
Okay, yeah, so I think that looks like what that line is.
No idea that was a thing.
Yeah, right? Look, man, we are such, like, humans are so weird. Like, go back to anything. There's a weird reason for it.
So, wait, real quick. So, nobody was wearing wedding rings on that finger until a doctor figured out that there was...
So, you're going to make me go down a rabbit hole? Because right? I agree. Like, I'm always fascinated by the first person who did something for some reason. And so, like you said, like, was there some ancient doctor that was, like, you know, like, opening a cadaver? He's like, hey, look at this. Right. Like, this artery. And then he, like, tells somebody who he thinks it's, like, really cool. He's like, dude, you'll never know what I discovered. Like, turns out, like, there's this giant artery that goes, like, from your finger all the way to your heart. And somebody was like, I love my wife. I'm going to put my ring on that finger. Like, you know what
so
I mean?
So bizarre.
It's such a weird connection. But, yeah, apparently that's why.
So, and you're right. Whether it's either it's an ancient doctor or apparently that we discovered this like in 1940.
Yeah. I mean, we could Google that too. But I think we're a little off. Look, it's Thursday, man. All right. It's the All-Star break. There's a lot going on, but just, you got a little time to get wonky. So we should Google that and get to the bottom of it. But regardless, we were talking about tennis and we got off on tattoos. So that is a big moment here. Leaderboard. Do you want to hit the leaderboard really quick? I mean, we don't even have to get the leaderboard, but I did ask you this because I talked to you about this yesterday over at the Scottish Open. Looking over the course map and everything, it did seem that, because you used the phrase weather was like its best defense, and if that weather wasn't going to be an issue in terms of wind and in terms of rain and all sorts of other things, to me, there's a lot of holes that were straight shots or barely dog legs. Like, this is going to be a course that it looked like these guys could go out there and absolutely destroy. And it seems to be the case early on here. Some low scores early at the Scottish Open.
Yeah, definitely lower than I was expecting. I'm just looking at what the weather's like right now. Yeah, I mean, the wind's kind of exactly what it was when I was putting in my final bets yesterday. You're seeing about sustained winds in that 10 to 15 range. And some gusts up to 20 miles an hour. So these guys are getting ready for Open Championship golf. They're playing well through it. The rain has stayed away, at least from what I've seen this morning. I did not wake up at midnight to start watching this. So I don't know if it was then. But, definitely scoreable course right now. I mean, Benny on going 9-under to take the lead. I mean, Xander Schauffele won this thing at 7-under last year. So definitely a scoreable course right now. We'll have to see. It's Scottish weather, so who knows how that will change throughout the day. But winds pick up, rain picks up. This course could change on a dime real quick here.
What are your viewing habits here? Do you just go to sleep and wake up and see what the leaderboard's like? Will you watch more of it as the weekend approaches?
Yes.
Right? So, like, yeah. I would assume, since you don't have to do a show on Sunday.
Right.
Is that like wake up early or stay up through the night thing?
On Sunday, it will probably be stay up through the night.
Okay. All
yeah.
Right. I'm more of a wake up super early guy.
I mean, me too. I'll wake up at 2. Actually, no, because by the time, you're right, by the time Sunday rolls around, because we'll have a
cut and everything. Because leaders will tee off at like what, like...
I don't know, but it'll probably be like something like 3 or 4, I would guess.
Okay, all right.
So, yeah, you're right. It would just be wake up a little early.
All right, with that, let's transition over. The other betting event that is happening, of course, right now in our own backyard over at the Thomas & Mack Center that we've been at pretty much all week long has been the NBA Summer League. And a big night for your boy. We've only got one future that's pretty much, I mean, I guess technically got a couple that are still alive here, but the one the most juiced to it with the Utah Jazz to win this thing. And a big night for at least somebody like me and a bad big night for a lot of people who maybe had some Lakers tickets because they were a sexy pick to win this thing. Jazz win last night to remain undefeated. There are now only 3 undefeated teams in the NBA Summer League. Cleveland Cavaliers right now are your first place team at 3-0. Houston Rockets are 3-0 as well. They're in second. Again, the point differential makes a difference. So the Cavs through 3 games have a plus 16.7 point differential. Houston Rockets at 8.7. Jazz come in at third at 7.7. Those are your last 3 undefeated teams in the NBA Summer League. And you have quite a few teams sitting at 2-1 as it stands right now, with point differential being the biggest decider here. However, as we move along and we have the updated odds to win this thing, what's going to be pretty fascinating is, of course, how this shakes out because of a few things, right? First off, let's talk about the Rockets. Rockets plus 380. I think there's a pretty good shot that this team's going to be able to maintain its play because they still have some pretty good players on this roster. Myers on this roster. Caffeine's still kicking in. But with teams like the Pacers and the Rockets, there is a connecting thread, which is the second-year guys that had a really big hand in getting them off to their good start are not playing the rest of the way. And that's going to be something to monitor here as you move forward because it might get you into the playoffs, but because, of course, you started off 3-0 or had a really good start, but by the time you get to the playoffs and not having those second-year guys, they're not going to be a team as power-rated as high, but a big night, at least in terms of shaking out the standings, with the Jazz winning and the Lakers losing. Now you don't have four undefeated teams. You've got three undefeated teams. So Jazz, pretty big one. And out of all of these teams, Kelly, I mean, the Rockets were about 20-1 before the Summer League began. The Jazz were 21-1 before the Summer League began. The Nets were not very high up there. I think they were about 30 or 40-1 to win the NBA Summer League before it began, now sitting at 8-1. So this is going to be pretty fascinating to watch shake out. And I think, actually, if you look at it, all of these teams, I have to look up pre-Summer League odds. I don't believe the Cavs were that high either. So
no,
at the very least, a lot of the short shots, Oklahoma City, Detroit, Portland, none of those teams really in contention at this point right now to win the NBA Summer League. So it's going to be great to watch this shake out. Hopefully, my Utah Jazz, come on, let's get this done. Point differential is a big deal.
It is.
How much of a nerd? We were sitting there watching something. We were watching the Hawks yesterday, and I leaned over. I was like, hey, man, they got to get these two free throws. Like, this might actually matter. And you looked at me like I was crazy. I was like, no, like, this matters.
Point Every differential. Point matters. Yeah, you're right.
That's right.
Every point.
Not a psychopath at all. All right, we'll get to individual games as well. Kelly and I had a pretty unique experience yesterday during one of the games that the market didn't catch on to that very much matters, because one of those teams that we're talking about that sat a bunch of their guys, again, these things aren't widely reported, so you really got to try to pay attention. But the Detroit Pistons, with no fanfare yesterday, benching all of their second-year guys and saying that was enough, and they go out there 7-point favorites and lose. Or excuse me, fail to cover, but they ended up winning that game against the Toronto Raptors. We'll talk about that and much more. When we come back, though, a little on the National Football League as we get some more news surrounding DeAndre Hopkins and his next team.
The Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app at MGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada, whatever your sport, whatever your betting style. You're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms. Got to be 21 and in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700. I wanted to clean a couple of things up that we were talking about. First off, I have been lied to, and I will start the movement now. The whole artery to your finger thing is a lie. It's a sham. Apparently, it dates back to ancient Egypt and Greece and Rome and all that kind of stuff. They believed that was the case.
Yep.
Fools.
Myth.
Yeah, I know. Come on.
Legend.
We believe in science now, right? What are we doing? How are we going to continue to? So I'm going to start the movement now. I think we should change our ring fingers. It started here.
Good luck with that.
Yep. So when I'm
can I,
lost,
can I be there for that conversation with your wife?
When I'm lost to history.
Why you're not wearing that on that finger anymore?
When I'm lost to history, just know I started this movement. All right. When I turn to dust. The other cleanups I wanted to hit really quickly, because we were talking about pre-Summer League odds and where we were at with some of these teams now. So the Cleveland Cavaliers, now the favorite to win the NBA Summer League. They were 50-1 over at DraftKings, 45-1 over at DraftKings to win the NBA Summer League. The second choice on the board, who's the second choice on the board right now? Kelly, can you tell me?
Yeah.
Well, oh, okay, I've sorry. Everything. Oh, thanks, guys. Thanks.
No, I've got the old ones pulled up, too.
So the Rockets. So let's go through this just really quickly. So the Cavaliers were 45-1. The Rockets were 20-1. The Jazz, as I mentioned, were 21-1 or somewhere thereabouts. I got 21-1 at Circa. I think at DraftKings, they were about 16-1. The Brooklyn Nets, let's see, scrolling, 30-1. And then, of course, the Indiana Pacers, at least of the teams right now at the top of the board, were the shortest shot at 12-1. They're now 9-1. So that's the biggest difference there. And the Los Angeles Lakers were 30-1. So it does speak to, look, when it comes to the NBA Summer League, you can do your best to evaluate these rosters. At the end of the day, and I think you guys here on a numbers game, Gil brought it up with you, however many years it was, but it's been a while since the team that was favored to win the NBA Summer League at the top has come in and win this thing. You know, there's a lot of variance. There's a lot of different things. There's different game plans. You don't know what they're going to do. You don't know the workload of certain players. So generally, it causes some chaos, and it behooves you as a bettor to kind of look around and try to find some diamonds in the rough. And, you know, for me, for example, a team like Utah, when you've got some good scoring guards on that roster and some other second-year guys that could play some pretty good roles. Like, for example, Ochai Agbaji, who missed their second game and is a second-year player, but came back and played in the third last night, that's a pretty good sign that they want him to play throughout this entire thing to work on his game, and that's going to help you out if you're going to do it. So, again, same thing with Cleveland. high-end scorer on that roster too. Rockets, you and I both watched Cam Whitmore together. Dude, yep. Was freaking awesome. Led me to bet him at 100-1 to win Rookie of the Year. Like, those kind of things are what you're looking for these teams, Kelly. But overall, where we're at with the board now and where we were before it started just speaks to the randomness of what this event is.
Yeah, the one interesting one I'm looking at, it because I'm looking at some of the odds that I was sending in before Summer League started. The Rockets did get steamed a little bit, right? Yeah. But right before it started, because I'm looking at two different numbers where I sent in 20-1 and then it was 12-1 and then 9-1. So, yeah, they did get steamed a little bit before this tournament, and they've successfully beat pretty much everybody I bet on. So,
by the way, I got to look and see if he's been shut down. I sent this in yesterday, but I didn't note it, and I'll make sure I have the updated numbers for him. So there's also odds on NBA Summer League MVP.
Yeah.
And look, I was going through it. There's no real correlation to like winning Summer League and winning MVP. So you could just have a pretty good stretch of games and then still win this thing. But I was looking through some of the stats, and I sent this to you in terms of notes. There's a guy who's averaging like 25-10 on nearly 60% shooting. He's not even listed over at DraftKings. Orlando Robinson has been absolutely destroying the NBA Summer League. Now, look, it's only been two games, and again, we'll have to double check to see whether or not he has been shut down because I haven't seen an update. But if he's going to play the whole way and continue to do so, how he's not even listed is incredible, because you have some guys who have been shut down still listed on this thing to win the award.
Right. Have the Heat only played two games?
That's what I want to double check, because he's only played
these
two games.
Are so stupid.
But like, we've been there every day, and I think that has been the case. Like, I think the Heat have only played two games so far.
Yeah, they're 1-1.
Right.
Them and the Sixers.
So
have only played two. What? How does the schedule make any sense?
So Orlando Robinson, who is, let me double check this. I think he is third in scoring right now. He's second in scoring. He's shooting 59.4% from the floor. He's averaging 10 rebounds a game and 2.5 assists. He's not even listed for Summer League MVP.
Yeah, I don't get that. Your favorite right now is Keontae George, 3-1, Cam Whitmore +450.
And he deserves, George has been awesome, and it's also one of those things where if you kind of want to, like, there's been times where I've approached books and just been like, hey, you don't have a certain player listed. What's the, you know, you don't want to bring it to their, you want to bring it to their attention, but then you don't, because then they're going to look and they're like, oh, this guy should be like 4-1.
Yeah, here we go, 5-1.
Right.
You want
like, the guy should, I don't know how he's not listed to win Summer League MVP, unless there's some weird rule for some reason he's not eligible, or that's just like a missed thing. Because look, he is not like a high level player in terms of what's expected of him.
Yeah,
but like, he still should be available. And like we said, guys that are shut down are still listed.
I mean, he's a higher level player for what the Summer League talent is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, he's a name at the very least that if you were following Summer League coming in, you knew to watch him. And he could potentially be part of the Heat's rotation if they have to ship off a bunch of pieces and he's got to play. Also, by the way, Vegas kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, I have a ticket on the Thunder. The one I want to point out, the Blazers one's still funny, right? Like, we mentioned it yesterday.
Clearly,
they took a lot of money on the Blazers because they are, I mean, with the tiebreakers, they're way down there. And I think they're currently on the outside looking in, I think, from what I put together this morning. But, yeah, still, what, 18-1 on there? The Thunder, I mean, I hope they don't shut him down, but when is Chet getting shut down?
It's got to happen.
It's got to happen, right? Like, you can't play that guy another game. He's played in every game. They played in Vegas. They played in Salt Lake. He's played in every single game so far.
Especially since he has nothing to play for now. Well, actually, no, they're 2-1. Okay, yeah, never mind. I thought they were 1-2.
It's five games. So he's played five games this summer already for a guy that you drafted second overall, who had a major injury last year, and you're playing him five games? Get him off the court.
It's a really good point. All right, I can't wait to see how this shakes out again. Scoring matters. So these point differentials. And today, by the way, we do have a couple of games. And I'll stress as well, you know, because I've been asked this, like, hey, what are you looking at? I was on with Greg yesterday. It's like, well, what are you looking at on the overnights? I'm like, I'm not looking at everything on the overnights. Okay? What you're waiting for is information. And you and I were sitting there watching that game yesterday, watching the Pistons warm up. And I got a text from our colleague, Julian Edlow, like, hey, like, did you see anything on what's going on with Ivy and the rest of these guys? And I'm like, no, not really. And we got a report from, I think there was one Pistons beat writer was like, I don't have an update on what's going on with Ivy.
That was Rod Beard, I believe, it was one of their better beat reports. And I think this is it led to a bet that JVT and I won yesterday, but I think this like the story of this yesterday is a great note slash lesson in summer league betting because it's really one of the only ways you can do it.
Right. It's information. So you look down there and you're like, yeah, I don't see Ivy and I don't see Duren and I don't, what's going on here? And then I go down to the floor to kind of like, look, maybe I'm missing him. And then it hits me. I'm like, just look at the starting lineup, you dolt. And so I look up at the scoreboard. I'm like, yeah, they're not listed. And then of course what happens, like you said, the Pistons were one of the higher because it looks like they're shut down for the rest of the time. They were one of the higher rated summer league teams and they go out there. That was one of the ones we had to sweat because they were down pretty big, like 10-ish, 15, like then up to 17. Yep. Then they come storming back and ultimately win the game by 4 or 5. And we had to sit there and hope for missed free throws and not, the Raptors were fouling at the end, which was beyond me. Ultimately, to your point, like you don't want to go game to game and be like, I like this roster, I'm going to lay 6, or I like the, but no, like you're doing this based purely on information.
At least not at this point.
Yes.
At this point, in the summer league, yes. Yep. Yeah. You got to rely on that. I mean, the other thing that was crazy about that JVT was the line movement. Cause that game did open 4.5.
Yeah.
I think it was 4.5. It ended up being a 4-point win, but we caught 6.5. So there was a 2.5 point, kind of steam up on that game yesterday.
Here. Remember, I was looking at the screen. Yeah, it was 7 here at the South Point. That's wild.
Yeah, well, I can't believe. I guess I'm a little shocked some of these games are getting steamed up that much from just betting action. And then, like you said, we caught it when their three best players who were going to, possibly be playing, ended up not playing in it.
Yep. It speaks to what this event is. Yeah, at this point right now, that's a really good point. Because the Pacers were just a highly rated team with second-year guys where people are just going in and blindly betting them. But at this point right now, you're waiting to see what's going to happen. So with that going forward, again, that's the important part. Look out for news. Chet Holmgren might not play, any of these other guys. But at this point right now, it does look like there's a high probability that the Cavaliers, Rockets, and Jazz are going to find their way in. But this is the crazy part about it. When I wrote about the Summer League preview, Kelly, you could have a team that you bet on finish 3-1, and it looks like there's going to be quite a few teams that could finish 3-1, and you don't even make it into the playoff.
Yeah, no, totally. I think the other big note from that game yesterday, though, like if you're at home and you're looking to bet this stuff, like we noticed those players not being in there. That line didn't change.
Because it never got reported.
Right. It was never reported before the game started. So my point is, though, you can carry this over into live betting, right? Because that's exactly what happened yesterday is the Pistons end up taking a lead.
Like 15-3?
A big lead. Yeah. You could have gotten in with taking the Raptors plus 12-13.
The in-game stuff's crazy. What was it, the Rockets-Thunder game we were watching? The total got up to like 205.5?
Yeah.
It's wild. All right, we'll come back. Tim Murray's going to join us, host of Eastern Primetime. Let's talk a little college football. Look ahead to the Pac-12 season.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
So it's football season here at VSiN, which is why we've already released our NFL betting guide. Our NFL betting guide is going to help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season. You got in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats and best bets on season win totals and more. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You get it as low as $19, or take advantage of the summer kickoff special. You get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $175. VSiN.com/subscribe for details. We'll always stress everything we do through the Super Bowl. That would include, of course, the college football betting guide, which emails are out. Data is being collected, and it is being written. And one of the men who is going to be behind the words of the college football betting guide, Tim Murray, who also does a fantastic college football betting podcast and a college basketball betting podcast, is with us here today. Tim, good to talk to you. So I wanted to start with, you just had an episode recently about the Pac-12, but also we're discussing some quarterback transfers, and I wanted to go there because it ties into the Pac-12. I think one of the more intriguing teams in the Pac-12 is Oregon State. Obviously, we know last year, I think they finished the best betting team in the country, right, in terms of ATS. They get DJU. I'm really intrigued by what DJU can bring to Oregon State. I think he is better. You know, you've talked about this. It's been something that has been brought up in mass media. Clemson's offensive scheme wasn't really great last year. What is the ceiling for an Oregon State team that now is not going to take the country by storm? Like, people are going to know. They're going to know how well power rated they are. And that they have a guy like DJU on the roster. What is the expectation for him and for Oregon State this year?
Yeah, it's a team that I've played their win total over. And, We always mention this. Look, depending on what state you're in, where you can bet, I bet 8, and I bet that last week. You can find that in Nevada at a couple shops, including Circa, at 8. So we're looking at the screen right now. from DraftKings, JBT, and it's 8.5. Certainly, I would recommend go get the 8. You can get plus money on over 8.5. But no, your point is what I've discussed quite a bit regarding Oregon State. I remember I did a segment, you know, right after the national championship, kind of more of your typical sports talky type of segment. And I said, who could be next year's TCU? And I think Oregon State has the potential to take the college football world by storm in this regard. You know, the Pac-12, and when you're playing any win totals, you know, we had humans on Follow the Money when I was filling in earlier this week, JVT, and he talked about his bet on Louisville on their win total over, and a lot of it had to do with the schedule, right? Because they were not playing Clemson and Florida State, the two best teams in the ACC. Well, look at Oregon State's schedule. They don't play USC. I mean, that's a nice team to miss. They get Utah. They get UCLA. They get Washington. Three of the, thought to be three of the best teams in the Pac-12, all at home. Corvallis is a very challenging place to play. I believe they're 12-1 straight up at home the last 2 years, JVT. The only loss coming against a USC team in September last year, in which they covered very, and they had plenty of chances to win that game. And then they wrap up the season at Oregon, which certainly will be a challenging spot. You know, the Civil War, Oregon and Oregon State, and Oregon State actually beat them last year. But, you know, outside of the schedule, why do I like Oregon State? You mentioned DJU. I think Jonathan Smith, who is their head coach, former Oregon State quarterback, kind of a quarterback whisperer, so to speak. You know, you don't get a lot of former five-star recruits up there in Corvallis. So I think there's a potential to unlock some big-time potential from DJU. It's not like he was just straight-up terrible his entire career at Clemson, right? I mean, his second career start on the road at Notre Dame, he threw for over 400 yards in that, you know, double overtime loss to Notre Dame back in the COVID season. They bring back a ton on the offensive side of the ball. They bring back all three of their top rushers. Damian Martinez is a stud. I mean, the one big loss, in my opinion, is their linebacker Spates, who hit the transfer portal, went to LSU. Would have loved to see him come back this year. But, no, I like Oregon State a lot. I think this is a 9, you know, maybe even 10 win football team, you know, if the, you know, things roll their way. I love the fact that, you know, their road games, JVT, are games that they should probably be a favorite in, at Washington State, at Cal, at Colorado, and then Oregon, they'll be an underdog. But no, Oregon State, very intriguing team, and a play that I do have in pocket on over 8 on the Beavers.
I was surprised to hear that. I figured they'd be 2 touchdown underdogs at Colorado on November 4th, considering what Prime's got going on there.
Hey, is that some shade being thrown at the most popular bet in all of college football?
The under?
No.
I know. Trust me, I'm with you. That's it's going to be, look, at the very least.
Can I just jump in there real quick? Because JVT, Colorado, like, I am so intrigued by them. I thought, look, all kidding aside, you know, I thought the hire was great. I don't know how many segments we did after Deion Sanders was hired on Colorado. Let's remember, this was, without a doubt, in my opinion, the worst Power 5 program last year. They were god-awful, 1-11. And now you've got buzz. How good will they be? I honestly have no idea, JVT. I was hoping we could get like a 5.5 out there. I think the market's probably right. 3.5 is probably right for Colorado. A lot of talent, but you know, the question that I have certainly is up front. You know, the lines, they got a lot of skill position players that came in through the portal, and the depth, like what is this depth going to look like up there in Colorado? But first two games of the year, both big noon kickoffs on Fox. So plenty of eyeballs will be on Coach Prime in year one.
You said what I was going to say pretty much, which is, look, at the end of the day, somebody who had no interest in Colorado football, is going to watch the most Colorado football I've ever watched in my life. So Prime's at least doing that for the Buffaloes. All right, I wanted to stick with the theme of transfer quarterbacks. Again, the most recent pod for you, you can go check it out up on Tim Murray's feed, at one Tim Murray, up on Twitter, or of course the College Football Betting Podcast. Just go like, rate, review, and subscribe. Talk to Matt Fortuna about Northwestern, Pat Fitzgerald, and of course the quarterback transfers into Power 5 programs. Let's talk about your guys, because Sam Hartman goes into there to Notre Dame on paper, right? The biggest fish to land for Notre Dame to get a quarterback of that nature. However, my question for you is, how does Sam Hartman transfer, I guess we'll say, into that system offensively from that slow mesh RPO style offense from Wake Forest? Do you think there's going to be some growing pains there?
I don't, because I think it's more of the slow mesh was kind of to help mask the lack of offensive linemen that they had at Wake. Wake's had some big-time wide receivers, and obviously the prolific nature of the numbers that Sam Hartman put up, record-setting in the ACC. But, you know, Sam Hartman's now going to get an opportunity, and I forget who mentioned this on Twitter, so I apologize. I'm not giving proper credit. But basically they looked at Sam Hartman from a clean pocket over the last 2 years. Only Bryce Young had a better, you know, quarterback rating essentially than Sam Hartman. So look, I think him going into that offensive line with a pretty good stable of running backs is big there for the Irish. But look, I'm not racing to play over 8.5 JVT. And honestly, if you know, when I write this up for the guide, because I'm gonna write up the independents and you know the number's 9 at DraftKings, my recommendation is going to be under, because you know, Marcus Freeman's entering year 2. And while Sam Hartman is the best quarterback, in my opinion, to start a season for the Irish, probably since Brady Quinn back in 2005, you know, you've got Ohio State. You're a touchdown underdog at home against Ohio State. You're a pick'em against USC. You're a road dog at Clemson. So can you win one of those toss-up games? Or because if you don't, JVT, then you have to essentially run the table with some tricky landmines, right? A Duke team that won 9 games last year on the road a week after playing Ohio State, which will be an emotionally charged stadium, at Louisville with Jeff Brohm stepping in there where he's made his hay, you know, upsetting teams. Think back to Purdue just bludgeoning Ohio State on that Saturday night in West Lafayette a couple years ago. They got NC State on the road. They got Pittsburgh at home off a bye week. So, yeah, I think there's a couple landmines. And, you know, let's be honest, Marcus Freeman, year number 1, had some really high highs, beating Clemson in the fashion that they did, JVT. But he also had some incredible lows, losing to Marshall, losing to a terrible Stanford team. So not a play that I have in pocket, but as a Notre Dame fan, I am certainly intrigued and excited about what Sam Hartman can bring to the Irish, because I truly believe he is the best quarterback they've probably had in almost 2 decades.
Don't forget the less than enthusiastic win over UNLV last year as well. By the way, 60 touchdowns to 14 interceptions and a PFF passing grade of about 92 for Sam Hartman in a clean pocket over the last 2 years. So pretty good numbers for a guy like Hartman. All right, last 60, it's probably not enough. The ramifications of Fitzgerald from a football perspective for Northwestern are what?
Look, the fact of the matter is this. They were a terrible football team last year with Pat Fitzgerald on the sidelines. Pat Fitzgerald, you know, as a coach, and this has nothing to do with all the allegations, as a coach, JVT, did a tremendous job at a very challenging place to win. You know, won a couple division titles, but look at the last 2 years, 3-9, 1-11 last year, no wins in America, which is always a fun little nugget there. Their lone win was in Ireland against Nebraska. So, you know, win total sitting out there earlier this week at 3.5 when all this news came out, I would say absolutely run to the under on that one. Only 4 players return on the offensive side of the ball. So I feel for a lot of these Northwestern players. You know, it might be a situation though, JVT, to be honest, where the market's going to go so crazy that you know, at some point we may have to look at ourselves and see if we'll take some points with the Purple Cats, but I'm not there yet. They're going to be really, really bad.
Make sure you check out the College Football Betting Podcast, a must listen for me every time a new one comes out. Tim, they're awesome. You're awesome. Thanks for the time, buddy.
JVT, our home and home is complete. Thanks for coming on my show last night.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, it's very true. All right, one Tim Murray up on Twitter. Primetime, by the way, the show. Check that out later today. We'll be back here on The Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
$276 or $275? $275. How about that? Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM. Official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place the same game parlay wager with at least 4 legs on any MLB game. And if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you're going to get your stake back and bonus bets up to $25. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. BetMGM.com for terms. Got to be 21 new and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire in 7 days. U.S. promotional offers not available in Kansas, Mississippi, D.C., Nevada, New York, or Ontario. Gambling problem? 1-800-GAMBLER in most states. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Hotel and Casino, this offer not valid to Puerto Rico residents. Football. We're here.
Hoot, hoot.
That's my, what do we do on the live at Saturday and Sunday? It's like our intro. It's
like, something like that. Just football noise.
Just generic football grunts and pads hitting. Well, it's my favorite. I think it's one of my favorite internet clips ever. It's Steve Adazio. Do you remember this when he was at, Adazio was back at Boston College? And there's a clip of him. Look it up. And he's standing. He's in the stands, right? It's like during, like, I don't know, some spring practice or something like this. And he looks at the camera and he's like, what's better than this? Guys being dudes. Like
it's, no, I did not remember that one.
You got to look it up. It's so great.
But I'm glad you brought up video clips because did you see Barry Sanders yesterday?
No,
that
can
was,
we?
That
oh, yeah,
was
we,
great.
Can we play this real quick? That.
Yeah, this is fantastic. This is so obvious. Everybody's seen the Heisman House commercials. It's very obvious. That's exactly what they're filming. And poor RG3 decided to put poor Barry Sanders on blast by him falling asleep while they're shooting this commercial.
So, all right, let's see this. Yeah, let's see. I don't know if we need sound for it because this is just Sanders. Look at him. We've all kind of been there. I don't know. I'm not big on falling asleep in public, though. Have you ever? Look at that.
A couple times, not often.
We're not playing the sound because clearly they're on like a commercial set. There's like 20 people talking in the background.
Yes.
It's a noisy area in which he is in right now, nodding off.
It cracked me up. Yeah. There's clearly people running around getting ready for a commercial shoot or whatever. And he's just.
Can you fall asleep in public? Like when I see people at the airport, I get they've probably been there for a long time. I could not do it.
Yeah, I mean, I do on, like, every flight I take. So
I guess that's...
Does that count? Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's a little bit more private because you're, like, in your seat.
Also, like, that, I guess... I mean, I wouldn't make that exact comparison, but, like, the... You know, like, if I'm at my friend's place or something, that I'm... That, you're right, I could fall asleep on his couch, yeah.
It's a good point.
Sitting there just like Barry. Hell yeah.
I think... I don't know if I told you this story over the weekend or somebody else, but it was about, like, the partying days. And when I woke up after a Halloween party... underneath a pool table using an oven mitt for a pillow that somebody had brought because they were a lobster. And I woke up the next day and I was like, yeah, this probably like, I just like, I slept here. Like, I don't know whose house it was. I didn't know anything. I was like, I probably got to stop doing this. Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, probably got to stop doing this. Some strangers.
Or high school. Who knows?
But at least I did the safe thing of crawling under the pool table to find like a safe area to sleep.
Yeah. Good. You protected yourself from an earthquake or potential alien attack or something. I don't know.
I had to do it. But yes, not sleeping in airports. Can't do it. I know there's a lot of people who spend like hours in airports. Couldn't do it, man.
I've probably slept in one, but when I was young, cause we traveled a lot when I was a kid, but the one I think I'd be the most worried about doing that now, JVT, would just be like, when have you looked around at an airport and be like, oh, that looks like a clean patch of carpet or tile for me to lie down on? Like, ew.
Well, it's like all those stories, too. Like, what's the Tom Hanks movie? Didn't he live in an airport in Japan or something like that?
Yeah.
And then, because that's like based on a true story. I read an article the other day. Again, it's only headlines. So, like, I shouldn't say I read an article. I saw a headline where it was like, man, like, sleeps in airport for. Three weeks to avoid wife. And I was like, what? Like, how does that happen? How do you like continue to live a life like that?
Yeah, The Terminal was the name of that movie.
Okay.
Directed by Steven Spielberg. I would have never guessed that.
So that's not the Lost in Translation movie. Was Tom Hanks in that one too?
No.
No? Okay. I'm not good with movies, so don't.
Yeah, that was Bill Murray. Scarlett Johansson?
That's right. Yes, Scarlett Johansson. Yes, yes.
ScarJo? Yeah, ScarJo. Yep.
Yes, indeed. All right, with that, Lost in Translation, The Desire of One DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh!
How about that? Does he want to play for a contender, or does he want to do what all of us would do and play for the cash money? Because, that thing the other day, was it Robert Horry or James Harden's career? James Harden's career, 100% over. Give me the $300 million. And so same thing here. So it looks like we are getting some evolving notes on DeAndre Hopkins. And the Titans are, by all accounts, putting on the full court press to go and get DeAndre Hopkins. That's correct? Like they're doing.
Yeah.
I know for a fact they have, according to reports, the best financial offer on the board. Patriots do have an offer on the table as well. And all three teams that you see at the top here, Titans, Patriots, and Chiefs, have all reached out. It's just according to most recent reports, Patriots and Titans are the only ones with real offers on the table, and the Titans have the most lucrative offer for a guy of his status at this point right now. So thus, They are the odds-on favorite at minus 175.
Yeah, and that was I mean, I saw that probably 4 or 5 days ago about the offer kind of being the best from Tennessee of where we're at right now. Now, there's been movement in this market, kind of like where you and I hit on with James Harden yesterday, where I don't exactly know where it's coming from. But this shot up all the way to Titans were minus 300 at one point yesterday. So this did come
minus back. Minus 300, so it came down? Okay.
Yeah, this did come back a bit here overnight, kind of this morning, where you're seeing minus 175 now on them Patriots 2-1. You and I were discussing this a little bit out at Summer League yesterday. Man, I just – the Titans – that offer would have to be a whole lot better for me to want to go there. I just think they're going to end up in a complete rebuild mode this year, and I don't think Hopkins helps that out very much.
It's all about, like, you know, I say the same thing with Ohtani, right? Like, lifestyle. Like, people don't, I think, realize that lifestyle is important for a guy like Ohtani. So we keep saying, like, I'll just trade him all. You know, it's fine. Like, no, the Angels want to re-sign him, and the people that are shocked that the Angels are still on his list don't realize, like, hey, look, he moved far away. Lifestyle is important. Same thing here. Like, champions, we all sit back and go, like, don't you want to win a title? Sure, but some people have different motivations. I think some people want to maximize their value as a National Football League player. Same thing with Hopkins. And if there's a better financial offer on the table, it's going to be that. However, like you were talking about and like we were discussing, which is like, it's easy to say that now, but when it's week 9 and you're catching passes from Will Levis, or at least trying to, because he's like sailing them all over the place.
Him, yeah.
Right. Then it becomes a little bit more like, all right. And at the very least, I think a lot of people would say, like, yeah, well, Mac Jones is much better. First off, I very much push back against, like, we do this thing all the time, right, where we have two contrasting sample sizes. We have 2021, in which Mac Jones was a decent quarterback, and they won 10 games and made it to the playoffs. And then we have last year, where his offensive staff is absolute garbage, and we're like, that's the real one. Like, maybe, maybe not. Maybe the one where he was a real offense is the real Mac Jones. And that, I think, has more, at the very least, possibility of a baseline of play in terms of competitiveness, a chance to make it into the postseason as a seventh seed. They're going to be a little bit better, you would think. Like, those are the type of things there. I think the Patriots are still more tempting because you get the financial offer. Might not be as good as the Titans. You also get the chance to compete a little bit more. But there's also, I got to talk to, I think it's John McClain, who writes, you know, out there in Houston a couple weeks back, filling in on local radio. He swears up and down that he doesn't like Bill O'Brien.
I mean, that was the big story when they were first when the Patriots were first recruiting him. It was that those two's falling out in Houston was like epic, and it was shocking to anybody thinking of them collaborating again on a team. So I think it's something to keep in mind. But man, you're talking about the money when it comes to like Tennessee. Money would fix a lot of problems for me that I might have with certain people.
Right.
I think Bill O'Brien probably still respects him for what his skill level is at wide receiver and what he can bring to the table. And I mean, look, that wide receiver room is real thin right now in New England. And if you're like, I think the big difference between those two teams is it really feels like the Titans are, it's Tannehill until we suck or start to suck, and then it's start the Levis move. And you, New England, you know exactly what's going to happen because we've seen it the past 2 years. I don't care if Mac Jones is the guy who he was 2 years ago. I don't care if he's the guy he was a year ago. They're sticking with Mac Jones the entire year. So no matter, and the Patriots might even be halfway good this year. It's a team that you and I have absolutely opposing opinions on, but even if they're halfway good this year, they're in such a tough division, JVT, that, like, maybe they might not make the playoffs, but you still know what you're getting in New England for the whole season if you go there, if you're DeAndre Hopkins. I guess it's a long way of saying if I were him, I'd probably be looking at the Patriots, Chiefs, Bills somewhere else and not be going to Tennessee. But money's money.
Yeah, and the Chiefs, the financial offer, if they do put one up, but again, by all accounts, they're not there. It's not going to be anywhere near what you're probably going to get for the Titans and or the Patriots, too. The Patriots as well, there's a track record. Bill Belichick will say, doesn't have the greatest eye in terms of drafting and developing wide receivers. There's a long track record of guys that they have hit on or they've missed on that they haven't really developed. And they have a track record, of course, of going back and trying to add veteran receivers to kind of offset that weakness in terms of not being able to find the right guys. We can go down the list of dudes who played with prior teams that ended up with New England having pretty good careers or good stretches with the New England Patriots. So wouldn't toss out the Patriots at all. And I kind of understand the market move there if it was as high as minus 300. When we come back, we got the second hour of, I was about to say Live Bet Sunday. No, it's a numbers game. We'll talk a little bit about some more of these win totals in the association because those are now out. Got to take a look at a lot of those. Time into some divisions as well. The Central Division. There's a lot of interesting teams here, including one I love what they did in the offseason. I think they have a chance at a top seed in the Eastern Conference.